Hi, I'm Will Bagley, and you're not.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. When assigning blame for the Mountain Meadows Massacre, there are two figures who often get overlooked. U.S. President James Buchanan and LDS Apostle George A. Smith. Historian Will Bagley will talk about the role these two played in ratcheting up tensions against the Mormons, and how they played a critical role in the Mountain Meadows Massacre. You won't want to miss this conversation. Check it out. I also want to remind you, if you haven't signed up, sign up today. I'm giving away a free book from Will Bagley that's autographed by him, The Whites Want Everything. It is part of the Kingdom of the West series, and it talks about Mormons and Indian relations in the 1800s. So you won't want to miss that. If you want a chance to win, sign up at gospeltangents.com/Bagley. Now back to our conversation.
Can we talk about President Buchanan and his dealing with Utah at that time? Because he was just elected in 1856.
Six.
And so he took office. Did they do it in January or did they wait till March?
It was until March.
March. Okay, so back in 1857. So he becomes president in March of 1857.
Right before the Dred Scott
decision
is issued by the Supreme Court. And Brigham Young.
So tell us what the Dred Scott decision is, really quick.
It's the Supreme Court doctrine of white supremacy, that black people have no rights in America. White people have no rights. An American is bound to respect, and that they're property.
Okay.
And it is.
So they confirm slavery as being not a problem.
And they also confirm the Fugitive Slave Act, which means that marshals from the South can draft people to go out and be slave catchers. And this is all setting the stage for the Civil War. And Buchanan is the most experienced candidate for president to ever run for president. He's been an ambassador, he's been Secretary of State, he's been all these big mucky-muck offices. Mm-hmm. But he's a man of absolutely no character. And he's not nearly as smart as he thinks he is. And part of Kingdom in the West is the two volumes of At Swords Point. And they're big. They're bigger than the first volume is bigger than it looks. But Bill McKinnon, who is a former vice president of General Motors and a graduate of both Harvard and Yale, is the most relentless researcher I've ever met. And he discovered notes and letters by a British diplomat that show how Buchanan thought that by extending America, purchasing Cuba and getting most of northern Mexico to open for the slaveocracy, that could avert the Civil War. And the Mormons are just sort of in the way, and he's convinced that if he can get them to move to Mexico, they'll support his plan to defuse the slave crisis. Now, Brigham Young would have gone to Sonora at the end of the Utah War, but there wasn't any way to get there. And
so wait a minute, you're telling me that President Buchanan was trying to kick the Mormons out of Utah and send them to Mexico?
He's trying to scare them out.
Scare them out.
Well, that seems to have, it was not well planned. And it was already, the fat was already in the fire, because Buchanan sent the army to Utah not to fight the Mormons, but to establish a military district. All the West was divided into military districts, and only Utah had escaped that. And Brigham Young did not like having the army around. It really interfered with his exercise of power. But this itself set up what's happening as the crisis at Mountain Meadows develops. So throughout the summer, the United States does not, the army is marching out to Utah, not a good bit of the army, about a quarter of it. And they have no idea the Mormons are going to attack them. And it seems like absolute lunacy, because it is. There are, at best, 40,000 people in Utah, probably closer to 30,000. But there are 40 million people in the United States. And if you attack the United States Army, what happens? Even President Trump is getting in trouble for attacking the United States Army and military. But the Mormons don't really quite realize. They think they're facing the apocalypse. And that's what Brigham Young believes is starting. Latter-day Saints. We're all Latter-day Saints. And that means the end is nigh. But no man knows the hour that the end will come. And it's been that way for 2,000 years. But the apocalyptic war does not start. The apocalyptic war that's prophesied in the Doctrine and Covenants does not start. And but in the middle of attacking the U.S. Army and rousing up the United States, Brigham Young does get his fanny in a crack, and he gets up in the tabernacle, and he says, "What's going to happen to the Overland Road, which is the wagon road trails that connect the East Coast with the West Coast?" And he is going to split the United States. He's going to enlist the Indians, and he says in public in August, middle of August, what will happen to immigrant companies that come into Utah? The Indians will use them up. Well, now that's not a very nice remark, is it? But it shows that he thought he could run the Indian nations, which was a complete illusion, because they were scared of Brigham Young, and they respected Brigham Young, but they were not going to fight for him. And it becomes clear that neither the Indians are not going to join the U.S. Army, and they're not going to join the Nauvoo Legion. And the involvement at Mountain Meadows is grossly exaggerated, to put it mildly. But here we are, it's early September. George A. Smith, the old funny potato saint who had starving people at winter quarters eat potatoes, and it was quite a funny guy and quite beloved, winds up touring southern Utah and giving hell-raising speeches. And this is where the widely held belief that there's hysteria in Utah, war hysteria. Well, guess what? There isn't. And we now have direct evidence that people believe in Brigham Young. They're completely committed to Brigham Young. And Brigham Young says, we're going to use up the army. We're going to completely destroy all these people who are threatening us. And so being true believing Latter-day Saints at this time, they're not worried. And it isn't hysteria that takes over southern Utah. It's fanaticism. And who's down there stoking the fanaticism? George A. Smith. And John D. Lee in his autobiography gives a very good account of how he does a mafia, what if, what will happen if. And Smith has him out on the trail up to Mountain Meadows, and he says, what would happen if Indians attacked a wagon train here?
And George Smith says this to John D. Lee?
Yes.
Okay.
And Lee says, well, the Indians would use them up, no doubt. And he says, if Brigham Young doesn't want us to do this, you better have him send a message, because otherwise, I think I know what you want. And so...
So, who said this, Lee or Smith?
Lee says that to Smith.
Okay.
And Smith grins back at him. So, the people in the South definitely thought they had their instructions. And the leaders at Mountain Meadows were going to follow those instructions.
Now, okay, so let me make sure I'm clear on this. So yeah. You're telling me we've got a lot of fanaticism going on.
Yeah.
This, in September of 1857, Smith says to Lee, what would happen if the Indians attacked? And then Lee says to Smith, we should get some instructions from Brigham Young.
Or that will happen.
Or that will happen. Okay. And then Smith just kind of smiles and with the implication that Brigham was on board.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and also, he's dealing with the senior officers in southern Utah. William Dame, who's not only state president, but colonel of the Nauvoo Legion, and Isaac Haight, who is I thought he was a lieutenant colonel, but apparently he was, like Lee, just a major. But he's in charge of, he's state president at Cedar City. And that's who would have gotten the direct orders from Colonel George A. Smith.
Okay.
And...
I mean, can we point this to Smith being the problem then?
Oh, Smith is definitely a problem.
Okay.
But he's the messenger. Whose messages is he carrying?
So you think that Brigham Young okayed Smith to say this?
Smith wasn't going to come down and do all this on his own hook.
Okay. So this is probably August of 1857 when this conversation takes place?
Yeah.
Okay. So would it be fair to say it's pretty clear that George A. Smith, who was an apostle, said something to Lee that may or may not tie back to Brigham Young?
Well, it all depends on who you're going to believe.
Well, I know. But yeah, so I would assume that there's some dispute on this point that you're making. So you're saying we can tie this to Brigham Young, and church leaders would probably say no.
No, I said Lee tied
it to Brigham Young. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Lee's a notorious liar, so you can impeach all these evidences.
Okay, so the question is Lee telling the truth? I mean, that's what it comes down to, is the credibility of Lee. And
yeah,
you're saying you believe Lee, and church leaders are not going
to
believe Lee.
We'll get to what happens to John D. Lee after, as part of this process.
Okay.
And why he writes the confessions. But we're still in August.
Sure.
Okay, so what happens is... Either Dame and Haight have received explicit orders from the top to attack this wagon train. And
from the top, meaning George Smith, or from
Brigham Young?
You're saying from Brigham Young. Okay.
Well, Brigham Young has already made clear what his policy is. He's going to use the Indians to close the Overland Road. Now, I made a list of five different reasons that I believe Brigham Young ordered the Mountain Meadows Massacre. And one of them is that here he is, he's provoked a war with the United States, and he's got no forces, no military forces that are worth anything but cannon fodder, and he's got to deal with that reality. And his notion is that he can use the Indians to close the trail, and that will send a message to Washington of what an important, powerful guy he is, that they have to deal with him and deal with that reality. And certainly, a massacre is going to underline that.
Okay, now, really quick, Buchanan had sent the U.S. Army to Utah approximately what month?
Well, he didn't get off the road on the road till June.
So June,
it's part of him. The governor doesn't hit the road till September, so they're in the same situation as the Hancock people. A year later.
Oh, because Buchanan's going to replace Brigham Young as governor, and so he's Alfred Cumming he sends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cumming is coming with the army, right?
part of the army.
Part of the army. Yeah. And they leave in
September.
August, September. Oh, so they're just right behind the Fancher party, Fancher Baker party. Is that right?
Well, they're a long ways behind the
They're
Fancher
a long ways
Baker.
Behind. Okay. So they sent him, so he didn't send him from D.C. Where did the army start from?
Leavenworth, Fort Leavenworth.
In Kentucky?
No, in Kansas.
Kansas, okay. So Kansas, okay. So Buchanan says he's going to send an army in like June, doesn't get until September.
He says he's going to send the army in May.
In May.
But he can't get it on the road.
So he's just a brand new president. He's only been president for 2 months. He's already going to send an army?
And he's incompetent.
Okay.
He doesn't understand how the army works, and all his senior military officers say, don't do this. It's too late in the year. Wait till next year, which would have given plenty of time to avoid all this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an incompetent boob.
Okay.
And but what the army does, the advance units of the army understand that they need to send a message to let Utah know what's happening and what their intentions are. And so as after the Fancher Party is attacked on September 7th, 1857, by Mormons, not by a mass of Indians.
Don't think Indians were involved at all?
I think there were some, but they put out a cattle call for Indian freebooters. Any Indians that wanted pungo and carabines, horses and guns, could come join in on an attack on a wagon train. But it wasn't the Southern Piutes. That I'm sure of.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with historian Will Bagley. In our next conversation, I ask Will what his opinion was of Richard Turley's book, Massacre at Mountain Meadows.
It's just part of the cover-up. It's just part of the standard story.
Okay.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents. And for just $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruption. If you'd like a paperback version of our transcripts, go to amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview. Also, if you'd like to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website, and I'll be able to send you a transcript as soon as they are completed, and click the subscribe button. You can also find our latest information on facebook.com/gospeltangents, as well as we're on Twitter @gospeltangents. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. The link is at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents, and you can subscribe there. Also, please give us a 5-star review. If you want to support all of the podcasts as part of the Dialogue Podcast Network, go to lyceum.fm, that's lyceum.fm, and do a search for Dialogue Podcast Network or Gospel Tangents, because, you know, that's a pretty cool one, too. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.